2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah help.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL News Radio. It is the Players Club continuing here on the program, brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank. We just had a little bit of our conversation with Jaron Hall, as we do on a weekly basis. And, yeah, we just have so much stuff to get to. I mean, Scott, but the number one thing about this BYU game and BYU versus Wazoo up in Pullman this weekend is that they no longer have Nick Rolovich. And not only is Nick Rolovich out as the Washington State football coach today after the COVID-19 vaccine requirement for all state employees that was mandated by Governor Jay Inslee there in the state. That deadline was today for not just him, but a few thousand state employees who had refused to be vaccinated. And he, Ricky Logo, John Richardson, Craig Stutzman, Mark Weber, also out. So these are assistants, including guys who are going to be – I mean, this is a massive deal. When you have five coaches, including the head coach, who are or no longer a part of the program, and it's – Scott, it's Monday. It's late into Monday here. They told the players earlier today at 5 o'clock that, sure enough, this would not – That their coach was not going to be coming back to the school.
You have to believe that this is going to have a massive impact on us. I don't care what you say. I mean, you can rally the troops all you want, and we talked about it with Jaron earlier, and you may be right. I mean, there may be a situation where it might be a better thing, but just from an emotional, psychological perspective, it's got to weigh heavy on the team, because there are things that happen within a game that a head coach kind of oversees. And they're, you know, making certain decisions, or, you know, as we talked about momentum, really kind of rallying the troops and getting guys to refocus and just kind of making sure everything stays on point. So it has to have a massive impact. But then you have during the week, like if you just had a coordinator, if you had an offense and defensive coordinator and that was it, like you could do that.
Right.
Like you could have practice, you could manage everything, you could go through all the different drills you're going to go through. You could actually make that work. But when those coordinators are gone, and if you have young assistants that don't have a lot of experience, you know, coaching, man, it could be so tough. So tough just to get the quality of work and preparation that goes into every week. I mean, that preparation, that's the key to success during the week. And if that's massively disrupted, boy, that's a hard thing to have to deal with and overcome.
So their defensive coordinator, Jake Dickert, has been elevated to interim head coach. And I mean, this is just I have no desire to jump into the politics of not why he didn't get vaccinated. Part of the thing was is that the university was like, okay, he applied for this religious exemption, and then also the school was like, will you just expand a little bit on some of your reasoning on why you're not getting it? And he refused, and they said, look, we're going to have to figure something out here, and if you don't comply, then we're going to have to let you go. On the one hand, you know, we said this about Kyrie Irving. You know, on the one hand, you go, yeah, look, I guess you have to respect the guy who will just say, it's my decision, and then faces the consequences of, I'm not going to get it because this is the highest paid state employee in the state of Washington, $3.5 million a year. And so on the list of people who are being paid in the state of Washington, the very highest of the paid guys. Now, by the way, Wazoo's won three games in a row.
Yeah, but I don't want to. I know he's paid, but that pay doesn't necessarily come out of taxpayers' money.
No, it's not.
It comes out of like money that the athletic department.
I'm not
has
saying
raised.
That. I'm saying that, that like he's a high profile guy in
that,
the state.
That's really what
that's
it is.
That's what it is.
No,
yes.
it's he's high profile and carries a lot of weight in within the university and within the community and within the football program. And if you look at all of the research and science and the people who have been vaccinated and who haven't been vaccinated, and then it's, you know, clearly a better path to be vaccinated. I'm all for it. Look, the guy has a right, you know, and standing on his principle and all of that. I get it. But if you're a leader in the community and you're so committed to this, why don't you talk about it? Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
How about
sense
all these kids? Jaren said, he's like, poor kids, man.
Right. And just say, look, here, you know, and then people can sit there and go, oh, okay, now I understand a little bit better. But when you sit there in silence with this and you're in this position where I mean, all these coaches just lost their jobs. All of that kind of impact on his decision. You know, it's one thing where it's yourself. Now, maybe the coaches are just like, hey, we'll take this as well. But it, as was mentioned, and it's a great point, you have all these young people that have come to this university trusting someone. And their parents have trusted that person. And it's just really hard when people kind of leave you hanging high and dry. And you've put all this trust and commitment into them. It's not a great feeling to have. And you go, why did I waste my time coming? I could have gone somewhere else. It's like, yeah, the transfer portal lets guys out, whatever. But man, but I wasted all of that time. I could have been somewhere else and I could have had a better experience than what I'm having here.
I think that with all those things that are being said, you know, Kalani Sitake today at his press conference, without really knowing exactly what was going to happen, it hadn't happened yet, Kalani Sitake did mention something about Wazoo as a team and how much of a challenge it could be for BYU. Here's what he had to say about Wazoo facing BYU this weekend up on the Palouse.
We'll see what we can do scheme-wise to match up against what they do. They're a spread team, so it's a difficult deal where you got, you know, some great skill like they have and spread them wide out, and then they have a running back that's really physical in Borgie that can break tackles. So really familiar with what Wazoo's doing and seeing them throughout the years in my coaching. They have that same type of personality, some tough kids in on their team and really, really cool area where they play and a great fan base. So looking forward to going back there and playing in that game.
All right, we'll take the break here when we come back. I've got some more comments from Kalani Sitake about their quarterback. We've got some sound from Puka Nacua, who had a 168-yard day receiving for BYU, despite the loss down there in Baylor. We've got more to cover here. We've also got a Monday Night Football score update here for you. Titans and Bills, what some people pegged before the season as one of these possible AFC playoff matchups. It's turning into a good one here, too. Only halfway through the game. Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.